machine, a drive them out of town initiative came, and those machines are particularly nasty because it's not just panhandlers that get harassed. Anybody sitting 50 feet from a change-making machine is illegal, and those tickets are going to court. You may have thought that law was thrown out in 1994. No. An earlier version of the law was thrown out by the courts, and immediately Kennedy and Rotkin and the city council, including Byers, rolled right in and passed another sit-on-the-sidewalk law, which is currently our law. And it's I talked to a man who got a ticket for that a month ago, and he actually had to plead guilty to it, or he did plead guilty to it, because he was criminally sitting less than 50 feet from a change-making machine. So, yeah. Or was it 10 feet from a shop?
Well, yeah, or near a glass front of a place like a Woolworths. Supposedly that's against the law too. Well, I think I'm going to be safe when it comes to approaching the university students with the issues that Mike Rotkin fails on. I am actually going to try to avoid it being a clash of personalities, because Mike Rotkin can be very, very vicious, and I am a Gandhian socialist. I am Gandhian. I've read most of the 53 volumes that Gandhi has written. I don't know if Scott Kennedy could say the same thing, but I'm not running. Scott Kennedy's not running this time. Mike Rotkin, when I was speaking last week to try to save the Redwoods at the lime kilns. After I had said my piece and referred to, when you're in these stymied kind of decisions, there's reasonable men can disagree on both sides, that you go to the elders, or in other words, you ask yourself, what would the indigenous people have done? And Mike Rotkin comes back after all the public testimony is through, and he has his time, and he starts speaking that he doesn't want this decision based on airy-fairy spiritualism, and as far as he knows, the Ohlone Indians burn the Poganip once a year. Well, that's brush clearing. That's not sawing down redwood trees. He even said, I don't know what the elders would have done if they had chainsaws. I think that kind of disrespect for the sacredness of the redwoods and the sacredness of memory of the Ohlone people is the kind of thing that he'll be revealing himself to the students, and I think the students will pick up on it. So I intend to drive the issues that will let Mike Rotkin hang himself. So I don't want to be attacking him. It sounds like I attacked him just now, but I'm telling on
Uncle
him.
Mike attacked him.
I'm telling on him. He's not going to get away with those kind of remarks without me repeating them. And if you don't believe me, ask Sam Farr. So I want to try to have a good issues oriented forum. So the forums are always based on issues. The situation back then when Scott Kennedy was running is different. I am on the SCAN steering committee. I'm supposed to be the green upstart there. Somehow I got on there, and I've been watchdogging it now for more than a year. We've changed the rules so that people can't walk in and register and then vote. Scott Kennedy held a big rally of the socialist socialites, what do you call it, the progressive elite, and walked the rally over to the meeting. And that had something to do with getting the SCAN endorsement. And when you have the SCAN endorsement in this town, that pretty much determines whether or not you're going to win. I'm trying to build a campaign from the precinct level up. If I get the SCAN endorsement, that's going to be great. And there is a possibility of me actually getting the SCAN endorsement this time, because we have a lot more Greens in SCAN. We have a lot more Labor in SCAN. And I believe I have support of Democratic Labor and the support of the Greens pretty solidly. So it's a different ballgame this time, and things have been slow in moving, shifting the balance in some of these stodgy progressive organizations. But I think the balance has shifted, and I think that those, like Cynthia Matthews, has a strong support of women and people that are very much praiseful of her work with the Planned Parenthood. But I'm a welfare worker, and I know the stories of people that are homeless and women that have been raped and then find themselves homeless after being raped, and what kind of a bourgeois filter they have to go through in order to get through Planned Parenthood. Excuse me, Planned Parenthood, but pull down your bourgeois filters. Cynthia Matthew, to me, is the epitome of bourgeois filters. She does these good things, but you have to pass her bourgeois tests or else you don't get the goodies from her. And And when she sat, when she voted for the...
Is this a personal attack on Cynthia Manning?
No, this is not a personal attack. I'm talking about her ideological position and how it manifests itself. You know, like when she voted to cut the redwood trees at Limekiln, she, first of all, something in her conscience told her that she should admit that she's friends with the architects that are in the Historical Preservation Association. I think historical preservation societies are very, very important. I come born in a town that has a lot of historical preservation, but I've never known them to cut down a giant oak tree in Tulare. And here we are, in the name of historical preservation, trying to save lime kilns and cutting away red trees, redwood trees that probably will destroy, end up destroying both of them. As Celia Scott pointed out, that there's no scientific evidence that it's going to help at all, unless they intend to cement and plastic and make the thing so ugly. Won't, there's no use of saving it anyway. I think Cynthia Matthews was right. She should have disqualified herself. I think Catherine Byers should have disqualified herself for her reasons that she gave, and we would have had a more honest debate. Put Mary Beth over one end and Celia Scott on the other end, and let them have a real debate and see where the issue goes. But we didn't. I don't think, as much as everything was very, very civil, and Mike Rodkin was very, very happy with how civil things were, I think I should have blown the whistle and said, you know, these guys all speaking for the Historical Society, they all belong to architectural firms. You know, which one of them is going to get the contract?
You know, I don't normally run into these environmental issues much on this show, but since you've brought it up, why don't you very briefly summarize what the issues were and what did happen at the last council meeting for those of us who didn't follow it or weren't in town?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I just sort of jumped into that. Well, the lime kilns are historically significant. They are a giant furnace that required, oh, I forget, no, was it 70 cords? That's about half the size of the city council chambers, in order to process the stone to get lime to put down on the rails to go to the ports, that was responsible for building a good number of the missions, a good number of the early architecture in California. So it's a historically significant site, but those lime kilns with the redwoods there, that one spot, are not the only lime kilns that did that. There are other lime kilns in the university. There's lime kilns in Big Sur. It's true that Santa Cruz was the key central area to the concretization of California. But, you know, it's sort of like preserving a site. I don't know, it's almost like our own little Auschwitz, you know. How do you argue if there was some precious rare tree that was being murdered by in a gross scale by something like the salvage rider bill that Clinton signed? Would you really want to save Auschwitz, or would you want to save that redwood tree? I my apologies to any Jewish people that don't like the comparison of human lives to redwood trees, but I think all life is sacred, and the kind of position that the council took was to preserve an anomaly that was not the only one. There were several others.
What did it do? What was the vote? What happened there?
Well, what happened was a 6-1 vote. Celia Scott was the only one that voted against cutting down the redwood trees. I also had pointed out to them in my presentation that you're making this decision while school is out, while the university is out. I said, that's very funny that you wait till when the university is out before you make this decision. I think this room would be a lot more packed if the university students knew you were going to go right up into the Poganet and slash redwood trees out, 100-year-olds. They call them only second growth, they call them. Well, the first growth were killed by those people that slashed down to put the those lime kilns in. And so this second growth shows, and it's very beautiful to see the interaction of the redwoods and the kilns. So that in itself would have been worth preserving, to see how nature takes back, you know, its own. Just that would be a worthy, you know, preservation site, and the Historical Society couldn't get a contract out of that. You couldn't get an architectural contract out of just preserving that. So I think really that's what weighed their decision. And I apologize to anybody who sincerely felt it was a historical site, but search your conscience and find out those people that are most persuasive, did they have a financial vested interest or not?
Back to your campaign.
Yeah.
In 1992, if I'm not mistaken, there was actually a coalition of candidates, including Suzanne Espinoza, Linda LeMaster. I could be confusing campaigns, but
94.
A number. Was that 94? I know LeMaster ran in 92.
92, and then 94 was...
Maybe it was Espinoza in 94. But in one of those occasions, there was actually a slate, a progressive slate. By progressive, we mean, let's say, a radical slate, because progressives, unfortunately, has a bad odor here in Santa Cruz. Are you likely to? I don't know if you read today's Mercury News or Sentinel. There's a kind of there are now 15 candidates in the council race, maybe more, maybe 20. That brings up. I remember in 1988. There were 23 candidates. So I mean, the numbers may keep going up until August. August 10th, I think, is the final deadline. I don't yet.
Ninth.
Ninth?
They said the 9th in the paper today. I thought it was the 6th, but the Sentinel said the 9th today.
Call the city clerk if you're thinking of, you know, registering as a candidate. We don't know what, you know, the Sentinel is a reliable source of misinformation, we might say.
Your question, radical slate.
The question is radical slate, and the question is who among this set of candidates, if you've seen the most recent list, you think might be people you could kind of get together with and mutually endorse?
Well, you know, I don't know most of the people on that slate. I don't know the guy that owns the baseball fields. I don't know a lot of the people. I've met Eleanor Eisenberg. I understand she's done good work for homeless people, and I understand there's some criticism of the work she's done. I understand she has a problem with labor, and that needs to be resolved with me. But as far as I've seen her also on the line with the farm workers and also demonstrating against methyl bromide, she's been there on the line with me. So I have a feeling of a kindred spirit with her, but at the same time, I don't know her that well. And of course, there's a lot of people that don't know me that well. I flew into town here five and a half years ago very much on purpose. It took me 3 years to transfer from social services in Fresno, and I'm here very much on purpose and intend to stay here. But there's a lot of people that don't know me. I jumped right in to union negotiations when I first got here, so union people know me. They know I'm a strong fighter for their rights on the workplace. And also, I was elected at the Democratic caucuses as the chairman of the Jerry Brown campaign for this congressional district. So a lot of people that are into, you know, alternative Democrat politics know me. And then we try to keep We the People alive here. And actually, we did keep We the People alive through the last election of city council.
We the People is the Jerry Brown organization.
The We the People chapter. We were going to call it Take Back America because... we like that more, but just for consistency nationwide, we call it We the People. And we had a slate then. It was Simba Kenyatta and Susanna Espinoza and Celia Scott. And we're really glad that we discovered Celia Scott in time. I mean, I was like new to the area, so Celia was known to a lot of people. It's very apparent if you look at the voting pattern that that so often it's 6-1, 6-1, 6-1. Celia Scott is alone. Occasionally she'll get it'll be 4-3. You know, she'll get Catherine Byers and Yokoyama, but that seat is going to be vacant. So we have a situation where we have four seats up, and one of them is term limited. And I don't know most of the people that are running, so I'm calling for a meeting of all the people that are running, perhaps over at the Nonviolent Action Center, just so we can all
Resource Center for Nonviolence. One of my favorite places.
So perhaps we could all, or maybe the Quaker Center up in Felton.
No, I have no problem with the Resource Center. It's they that have the problem with me.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it'd be good for all of us to get together to get to know each other, so that we can keep on issue and on track. I think there's some real serious problems that we have to deal with, and a lot to deal with in terms of what kind of police we have. I think the kind of police we have is all wrong. But slates, getting back to the question of slates, I would like to, you know, have a slate, but at the same time, I'm not sure how wide of a slate I'd want. I think maybe there may just be only two or three that we could pick, running for four. Three might be strong, but I'd have to meet these people. I love Roden. I think Roden's great. I think he's a refreshing voice and spirit. I mean, I voted for him at the SCAN endorsement last time. I don't care what you say about how, you know, inexperienced or flighty or just too visionary he is. I think that kind of voice is absolutely needed, and I like Roden a lot. So maybe Roden's gotten some more experience in the past couple of years, and he's
ask him what he thinks about the sleeping ban.
Oh, okay.
The Green Party recently came out. Roden dislikes me intensely and uses every opportunity to denounce me whenever he gets on the air, but that's certainly his choice and maybe a personal matter. Roden was a homeless activist for a couple of months when he first arrived in town. And then he decided to go political, and he essentially denounced activists such as myself who were engaging in homeless protests, claiming we were doing nothing to further the cause of homeless rights, and why didn't we get a job in gas stations like he did and so forth. And, you know, that's too bad, but he has provided an alternate voice. Indeed, KSCO loves him. They have him on frequently. He's considered, you know, quite a light over there in KSCO, and a lot of people like him there. And I mean, I occasionally got on KSCO. I don't just want to, you know, tar Roden with that particular label.
Well, if I say to Roden is, you know, try working as an eligibility worker in the welfare department, and hearing the stories every 15 minutes, hearing a different story. Maybe, you know, some of the time you're being lied to, the rest of the time your heart's being broken, and hearing the kind of stuff that homeless people have to go through in this county, the kind of stuff they have to go through, you know, the false arrests, being accused of having a beer can in their hand when all they're doing is trying to find a bush to sleep under, all this constant harassment of homelessness you hear constantly, if you are the kind of eligibility worker that keeps an ear open and a heart open, and you know that there's a lot of millions of reasons why people are homeless. It's not all the same reasons. So just saying going out and getting a job is real nice for anyone to say, but I say, Roden, go ahead and get a job at eligibility worker and see how your opinion changed then.
Well, I don't want to mischaracterize Roden, and I also know that you know, his position may have changed over the years, and I haven't really heard a lot of his position recently, and I just know he liked to run for office. He ran for office in 1990, and he's been running ever since. And some people do that and effectively do that. I mean, I've poo-pooed Linda LeMaster's runs for office, though I have a lot more respect for the kinds of positions she's had. Again, Roden is kind of like a prankster in a way, and there's room for that. You know, I got no problem with that. And there's even room for people who want to denounce me. I mean, hey, you know, no publicity is certainly better than, bad publicity is better than no publicity. That's what they say. So, you know, that's good. I hope, you know, I really think your idea of getting people together to figure out where you have common or parallel goals is a good one. I hope that you can do that. Why don't you announce your number and what people who want to support you and further educate themselves on your campaign can how they can get in touch with you again.
Okay, let's make it the Green Party office phone number, 459-0199, and say you'd like to work or find out about the David Silva for City Council campaign, Silva for Council, and we'll get back in touch with you.
Take that number again.
459-0199. I just wanted to say that, you know, as far as labels of, you know, whether someone's radical or progressive and so forth, that has gotten to be a real, real tiresome problem. You know, I consider myself a pacifist revolutionary, but me going around saying I'm a revolutionary probably will not, you know, win over a lot of votes of people that actually support me already. I have a lot of credentials in terms of political work. You know, I've been a union treasurer for local SEIU Local 415 here. I've been a union vice president for 535 in Fresno. And if you want to work a tough town in unionism, try working Fresno. And I have a lot of credentials and a lot of experience for a radical person. And I've always been the thorn in the side of most of these organizations that I've been in. But I've also worked to keep their budget in the black and make them grow rather than, you know, shrinking violets. Like a lot of the past 12 years, organizations, unions, and everything, it's been a lot of withdrawal and people afraid to grow and afraid to reach out. And I think every organization I've been involved in, I think that's one of the things I've done is I've made them spend their money and go out and grow.
So has anyone in your position has anyone run for city council in the last two decades and been elected that was a similar union activist? We, of course, have heard a lot of criticism of Mike Rotkin and perhaps even Scott Kennedy as being supposedly not so
scabs. Scabs. Yes. I mean, any city council person that goes and washes the bus and gases up the bus when the transit district is on strike is a scab. I don't care if they're a city council person or not. That's a scab. And any city council person that tears down the signs of homeless demonstrators, you know, that's basically the same kind of behavior. And I'm sorry, you guys, but you've been way out of line, and you're gonna be paying the price for it. It's not because I'm blowing the whistle on it. It's because people know what you've done, and you can backpedal and you can rationalize and talk about how reasonable and clear you are and how much you need to balance the budget. Excuse me about balancing the budget. I know how to balance budgets.
I sound like Mike Rodkin. Actually, that's the kind of phrase he uses. Excuse me is one of his favorites.
I say excuse me. Excuse me, you know. But I say excuse me a lot. If you listen to my show, that's one of the things I say. When I read this crap that I have to read, I say, excuse me, you know. Yes. Excuse me. And, you know, I like to get to the point when people are, like, fighting back and forth and stupid and just say, cease fire. Mm-hmm. Cease fire when it comes to camp, when it comes to all this kind of bullshit that laid down in this town. I just say, cease fire.
Well,
I'm the ceasefire candidate.
He's the peace candidate, folks. Well, this is great, and you actually have a show on Free Radio Santa Cruz. And when is that?
That's the Labor Green Politics Show. It's a Thursday from 4 to 5 now. It's been moved, and I've been remiss a couple times the past weeks, but I will be here this Thursday.
And you can be reached at what number?
459-0199. That's the Green Party office, and that will be the office I'm using for my city council campaign for the interim until we get stopped by the FCC or something.
459-0199.
That is correct.
Is the number for David Mitten Silva, who is the council candidate in our upcoming, what is it, November?
I think it's 5th.
November 5th election.
First Tuesday, yeah.
How are you going to get money to beat all these slick flyers that you go running around the neighborhood that Mike Rodkin and Cynthia Matthews are going to be circulating?
Well, you know, it's really funny. What I've been doing is I've been interviewing the city council one at a time, letting them interview me to find out them, you know, just what do you consider possible and doable in city government? What don't you? You know, I have a lot of experience in bureaucracy. I've worked for the counties and so forth, and I know the cities can't do a lot of things. But what do you consider doable? And they asked me about my money. It seems they're afraid that because I'm gay and I'm HIV positive, that there's going to be this big influx of money coming from all over the country. Well, I'm known in gay circles as being pretty radical and in the face of the gay rich elite. So I'm not too sure how much money is going to be coming. I know a few millionaires. Yeah, I'm one of Rock Hudson's in-laws. You know, my ex-lover's ex-lover was the Palimony suit. You know. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of money coming into my campaign.
You can split it with me if
you
want.
And if there is a lot of money coming my campaign, then what will happen is I've already told them I would like to have a ceiling on the amount of money spent, and that the excess money should all be put into some kind of fund to solve some kind of major problem like homelessness, one of the major issues. We shouldn't spend money just because we get it.
But if you're elected, David, isn't it true that all the HIV people and people with AIDS will simply come to Santa Cruz as some kind of a haven? I mean, Rodkin has told us that's the reason we can't allow these sleepers to sleep legally. I mean, you know, you don't want to invite every person in the country to come to Santa Cruz.
When I came to Santa Cruz, there was talk of an AIDS center here in Santa Cruz. There'd be housing, there'd be research, there'd be prevention, there'd be an actual center, an AIDS center, and Santa Cruz would be known for that. And because of all the state budget cuts and the budget cut mentality, you just don't hear much talk about that anymore. The truth of the matter is, I just got a report in the mail recently. If you look at the way AIDS people are treated and the survival rate, this county has one of the best services. Santa Cruz AIDS Project is probably one of the best models there is. I was home manager for AIDS Project Los Angeles when it first got started, and that's a humongous organization now, but its quality doesn't even compare to Santa Cruz. The quality of AIDS care in Santa Cruz is very good, and I think that we should further that. As far as it being a haven, yes, Santa Cruz is a haven, and Santa Cruz should remain a haven. It should be a political haven, a social haven, cultural haven, natural haven. I'm calling for sanctuary Santa Cruz. The rest of the country is going down the tubes. It's in a drug war. It's in this and it's in that. It's take the money and run. And I say we won't let it happen here. We could be a beacon of light for the whole country. There's a populist revolution on the rise. It could either end up being right wing with Perot or left wing with Nader, but there is a populist revolution on the rise. And if there's some beacon of light like Santa Cruz that shows that things can work. As far as homelessness, there's programs in other counties have accepted called the Fair Share Program. That means that all the cities in that county and the county get together, and if one of the cities is taking the brunt of having to help homeless people, then all the other cities and counties have agreed in advance that they will help pay for that.
Where is this
the
happening?
Fair Share is helping Los Angeles, several counties throughout the country, except our city council, when I've mentioned to them, weren't even aware of it. So I think you need to be aware that there are creative models out there already, and I think you need to be able to come up with creative solutions, and that's what I intend to do.
Well, we have here today's San Francisco Chronicle. We may have to end the show at any minute. We're going overtime, but yeah. I don't see any other hosts showing up, so we're just going to hang out for a bit. This is the Monday Chronicle. Has a headline: Senators say welfare bill spells trouble. California's counties face devastation. California's two Democratic senators are warning that denying aid to illegal immigrants as part of the GOP plan to overhaul welfare would throw millions of people onto the streets and bankrupt California counties. Feinstein and Boxer are trying to amend the bill so that benefits would be denied only to new immigrants rather than those already in the country, but it is expected to fail by a wide margin. It failed this morning. A Senate voted on it. Clinton has raised objections to the measure. I guess he's twice vetoed it before.
Yeah, but he's not going to veto this one, is the word.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yesterday said Vice President Al Gore said the legislation had some real shortcomings, but he carefully avoided predicting a veto. Speaking on Face the Nation, he said he hopes the House-Senate conference will take steps to make it acceptable to the White House. What's with this welfare bill? Educate the public here.
For those who don't know, there's something called the spiral down effect in government aid and government welfare. If your system of reform allows one county to do it one way and another county to do it another way, one state to do it one way and another state to do it another way, then what happens is you start having massive migrations of people, so that the county that has the best welfare ends up being overburdened. So then it also has to have adopt a system as bad as the county the people came from. And it's a spiral down that ends up with a dissolution of the entire welfare program, so it dismantles itself. And this is the theory that the Republicans are working on. The Democrats basically are, you know, Band-Aid and cork type people. Even when they're in power, they always compromise themselves so that the programs of the Great Society and so forth really weren't as effective as they needed to be. There are always too many loopholes for poor people. And if you're a poor person, or if you are a businessman who recently lost his business and you've lost all your resources, and you walk into the welfare office, you will be quite surprised at how you are not qualified. You'll be very surprised. But with these bills, what's interesting that you should bring this particular one up is because that Ralph Nader may be coming to town based on this issue. He's going to be either appearing in Salinas or Gilroy, and we're hoping to have him here in Santa Cruz on Public Access TV, and maybe even pop in here to Free Radio since he supports Free Radio. So we may have Ralph Nader here tomorrow. And if not, then maybe in 3 weeks, based on this issue. Because what's happened is that Clinton's been known this past year for vetoing, but the reality is that of all the vetoes, none of them started until Nader started running for president in November.
Really?
But when Nader agreed with the Green Party of California to have his name put on the ballot, that's when Clinton started vetoing. Because what Nader's been doing is appearing by issue only. He's not campaigning for president. He's campaigning on issues. So this issue of the legal aliens, resident aliens, people that are about to become citizens, being taken off of any kind of health care, any kind of food assistance, any kind of business loans, being completely wiped out, is going to be tragic. Like the senators are right, it'll be tragic for California and for Florida. He's going to be hitting the Republican base as well as the Democratic base, because the Cubans in Florida are generally Republican. It's a real mess, and I think the ideologues of the Gingrich army have just about hung themselves on this, and also hung Clinton, because Clinton's going to sign it. If there's a Clinton-Gingrich marriage that has had the longest honeymoon that I've seen of any coalition in Congress since I've been a Congress watcher.
So again, summarizing, what will this welfare bill do when it's passed?
Well, there's many, many aspects to it, and I think when you step back from it, the main thing it'll do, it'll unravel the entire welfare system. It'll make it so that
A virus in the welfare computer.
Yeah, it's a virus in the computer. Any one state or any one county that tries to hold up some high moral principles will be undermined by the neighboring state or neighboring county that doesn't have high moral principles and takes away, like GA. GA is going to be taken away from, it's going to be optional for counties. When general assistance becomes optional for counties, that means that everybody receiving general assistance in Alameda will go over to San Francisco, which means San Francisco will go broke, so they'll have to get rid of the GA program. Then they'll come to Santa Cruz, and we won't be able to handle it. We'll have to get rid of the GA program. So it's an unraveling process. It's not, this supposed local control. Sending control back to California is not local. California is the sixth largest nation in the world. That's not exactly local. I do agree that there needs to be local input
it from the bottom up, and that should be from the recipients and the workers. But instead, they're talking to high-paid executive management who spend all their time giving money to their friends called consultants and coming up with a welfare procedures that are like not real and do not really fit the situation. Any worker, you know, every time we get a directive, we look at it like, God, you know, how are we supposed to make this work with what we really do? These people do not rub shoulders with us. They do not fill out the forms that the recipients have to fill out. And so this reform is what Nader calls it. It's a deform. It's a deformation of the entire welfare system.
And it's obviously an attempt to capitalize on prejudice against the poor in order to save money. Comment on the argument that this will save Americans money, and therefore it's a good thing.
Yeah, and it won't save money. It won't save money. It's gonna end up increasing crime, increasing, of course, you know, that's good for the police industrial complex and the prison industrial complex. So there'll be, you know, construction workers might benefit from it. And those construction workers, I call to their conscience, you know, do not accept a job to build a prison. You know, if you see that there's needs elsewhere, you know, fill those needs. But I think it's going to be a very, very expensive proposition, and the only way they're going to be able to solve that problem is to put more and more people in prison. What we have now is what they had in England at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. That's the swamp of vagrancy laws. You know, a lot of English common law, which is what we're based on, comes from the vagrancy laws. You know, that's all. It wasn't until the checking and the stopping of the vagrancy laws that there was actual civil law. You know, civil law didn't exist until people rose up and stopped the vagrancy laws. And now what we have in this country is a big sweeping surge of vagrancy laws everywhere. And
you're talking about the downtown ordinances, panhandling, sit on the sidewalk.
It's all related.
And the statewide law that makes loitering with intent to sell drugs illegal on a state level, since loitering itself is now legal after a federal court decision in the 80s, Supreme Court decision, the Larson decision. We now have our state laws that make loitering with intent to sell drugs.
And since the some police departments and some clubs within police departments are the largest drug dealing gangs, it's very easy for them to plant these drugs on loiterers. Loiterers, stop loitering, you guys. Get busy, organize, and start campaigning. There's a lot of work to do, and we have to do it ourselves. It's a sad state of affairs that this huge multi-billion-dollar bureaucracy is not affording services for us, and when it does afford services for us, it takes away our humanity, so we just have to organize ourselves. And I'm very thankful that there's a lot of people in Santa Cruz that know how to do that, and I hope you can help. It's just my campaign.
And your campaign number again?
And the campaign number is, again, 4590199.
And your show will be coming on?
My show will be coming on Thursday from 4 to 5. That's Labor Green Politics.
Now, what about this Nader thing? Is that coming on the air, or
well,
is it appearing at a certain...
We don't know yet. I'm going to go back and look at my email. You know, it's like most of Nader's appearances, we get pretty short notice. If it's not tomorrow, then it could be 3 weeks. That's just before the National Convention at UCLA. We might have him in the area. It depends on what's going on right now in the Senate. When I go back to, I'm a C-SPAN junkie. When I go back to my TV and see C-SPAN, if they've gotten rid of all those amendments and it's like, you know, going to conference, conference will be lasting, could last less than a week.
That's the welfare bill
that excludes legal aliens. So when that goes to conference, if it doesn't have that in there, Clinton's still possibly very possibly going to sign it, and so we have just till next week probably to mobilize. So that's why it's important for Nader to be here, and he realizes that this is probably. This area, Santa Clara Valley, Salinas Valley, is probably the area that will be impacted the greatest. I'm sure Sam Farr will be here next Saturday having cocktails with Barney Frank and the gay elite, and I intend to go talk to Sam Farr, find out where he was on those votes that I saw be 46 to the entire Congress when it comes to the gay... What's it? Marriage Protection Act, whatever it was.
Protection of the family.
Protection of marriage. Yeah, Barney Frank was on the congressional floor, and I saw nothing but blacks and Jews defending him. I saw no other Democrats. The vote was very, very heavily for this bill. Clinton's going to sign it, and the Democrats didn't come through for us. And I want to find out what Sam Farr was on that. And what Sam Farr is doing here, partying while the this welfare bill is being debated.
You know, this is actually more arcane, a more arcane issue. I noticed it in the San Francisco Examiner recently. It has to do with splits in organizations, activist organizations involved with assuring access of people with AIDS to different facilities as well as different treatments. There are two groups, I guess, ACT UP Golden Gate and ACT UP San Francisco up north.
Yeah.
What's happening on the ACT UP scene? I know that this is a little far afield from us, but hey, there's some homeless people who have or HIV positive, plenty of them, as a matter of fact. A lot of people in jail were HIV positive. Some had full blown AIDS, and they were bleeding all over the table. I mean, it was amazing. I was sitting down saying, "Hey, you know, you're bleeding all over the table." It was kind of funny, not really funny at all, but it was funny in the sense that.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, couldn't you believe it? Right. So, there are organizations that have really been using militant tactics to draw public attention to pharmaceutical profiteers and misplaced government priorities. Yet there's been a split in that movement recently. ACT UP San Francisco and ACT UP Golden Gate have separated. Do you know anything about that? Is it worth talking about?
I don't know about the split between ACT UP San Francisco and ACT UP Golden Gate. There's also a split between a Labor Party San Francisco and Labor Party Golden Gate. And I don't like splits. I'm a coalition builder, and I like you know, to have our differences when we're in organizations, you know, be amongst ourselves, but the differences shouldn't be out in the face of the public. I think if you have differences in style of presentation, then you form another organization and don't focus on the fact that it's a split, just focus on the fact that it's an outgrowth. I have a lot of friends in ACT UP, and you know, I really love the things they do, and I really appreciate you know, that they're there, they've been there fighting for me. I was one of the early widowers in the AIDS crisis. My lover died in 83, and my 10 best friends all died between 81 and 84. So I had to be an ACT UP committee all of my one self. I used to have to push nurses around and push doctors around and smuggle food and face all kinds of humiliation, and I've had, you know, my home taken away and everything taken away by the family. You know, even the photographs of my lover were taken away from me. I didn't even have photographs. That's how few rights we have, and we've come a long way since then, but not that far. And I think that's why ACT UP is very important. When it comes to these factions, it's not the green way. You know, I say come to some green meetings, and you can see how people's different views can be incorporated without being compromised. You know, there's the difference about the Green Party and every the political organization I've been in is its process. We have a process of coming to harmony and coming to unity and being strong in that way.
And when is the next Green Party meeting? How can people get involved?
Next Green Party meeting is going to be tomorrow night at the Green Party office. That's 903 Pacific Avenue, Suite 200, and that's at 7 p.m. That's 903 Pacific Avenue, Suite 200, and that's at 7 p.m. And you can see a small green process in work. Also, the National Convention is at UCLA. That's the 14th to the 19th at UCLA. If you're not a delegate, you can come mosey in on the 15th. It's going to be a pretty exciting time.
How can you call the Green Party to get more information, dare I ask?
Yes, you may. That number is 459-0199. That's also the number for Frisky, Fair Representation in Santa Cruz. Yes, proportional representation to Santa Cruz. That's one of the main things I'm running on, is bringing proportional representation. It's a form of a democracy that allows more people at the table, more minority groups. It's not a winner-take-all system, but it's a preference voting. You vote for your seven council members. You vote for your first choice, your second choice, your third choice, your fourth choice, fifth choice, sixth choice, seventh choice. And if there's 32 people running, you can vote for your 32nd least favorite. These numbers are then added up. Once a person reaches a threshold of 1/7, that's how many seats there are. Then that person is elected, and then all votes on that. But that candidate, then the second choice for all the votes of that candidate get transferred over, and you keep on doing that until you have seven people elected, and you find that you have a much wider variety of people and interests that perhaps you weren't aware of, minority groups that belong not all in the same district, you know, that but belong in various districts can be represented without having a district kind of representation. So that's Frisky, that same number, 459-0199, and proportional representation, one of the main things I'm running on. I feel that I am the minority candidate. I'm the snot-nosed kid from the other side of the river, and I'm definitely going to be there and making noise.
And so again, your meeting of the Green Party will be happening tomorrow at 7 o'clock at
903 Pacific Avenue, Suite 200.
Where is that, anyway?
It's right next to the Blue Lagoon, right across from the metro station.
At 7 o'clock, and if you miss that meeting, you can give a call to help with David's campaign or get more information about the Green Party at...
459-0199. Now, if you're interested in the Ralph Nader campaign, that's 426-6729. 426-6729. The next Nader meeting is this coming Saturday at 2 o'clock at Loudoun Nelson.
Wow. So you're actually going to write all this down on a piece of paper and post it here so that people can read that over the air. Yes, your campaign number, everything else.
Yeah.
Actually, in the studio with us, we have also, finally, after many, many hours, actually days of voyaging to get here and cover the two or three blocks from her house, we have Lighthouse Linda LeMaster, who is actually a longtime activist, co-chairman of Housing Now, chairman of the Civil Rights Subcommittee of Above the Line Community Consortium, sometime jailbird, sometime city council candidate. Well, let's talk about that, Linda. You ran for city council.
I'm also a Green Party member.
Okay.
Hey. You're an unsuccessful, or perhaps you are successful. Maybe you were successful in what you wanted to do for city council in 1992. From one council candidate to another, what advice do you have here for David?
Keep your hat and your shoes handy. I don't know. I got involved in running for a city council seat several elections ago because, you know, I didn't think the people in this community would take my being a candidate seriously, but I thought it would give me a wider forum to talk about my experiences and what I've learned the hard way about how society, and particularly in Santa Cruz with its high housing costs, has marginalized and even destroyed people. I mean, I'm talking about homeless people, but I'm also talking about the way we treat veterans, the way we treat people who become disabled. And I wanted to get whoever might be open to being more aware of that marginalization to look at it in their own front yards. So since that was my goal, I think I was exceedingly successful, because since that happened, a lot of things that I was the only one talking about during that campaign have come about.
Like what?
An example is the community center in the beach flats right next to the community garden that the residents there actually put together themselves. Well, the city council got it together to provide some play space in a community center, and they even have some of their official meetings there. And I feel like that's a direct result of the things that I was talking about and other people started talking about when I ran, you know. On the other hand, it was an amazing process for me, you know, to find that 3,000 people supported the things I was talking about, and I was out front about being poor and stuff. You know, that really shocked me, you know. I was told off the record at the time that I was neck and neck with a couple other women candidates at the SCAN forum, which is one of the first sort of community tests of the candidates.
August 21st this year. For those of you interested in joining SCAN, the forum will be August 21st this year at Loudoun Nelson, yes.
And in fact, Linda, as I remember, I was just homeless at the time that you were running for candidate, and the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless had just formed and done some occupations. Jane Yokoyama was denied SCAN endorsement in part because of the fact that you split the vote, right?
Well, I don't want to take personal credit for splitting the vote, but I feel like the people at SCAN and that audience perked up and woke up and realized maybe they have a choice, and I was hoping to accomplish the same thing citywide. As you know, Robert, but maybe the people listening don't know, most of the last almost two decades I've spent in one way or another in the neighborhood near the River Mouth neighborhoods. That's not the bureaucratic name for our neighborhood.
River
but
Flats?
No, they call it the Lower Ocean. And they
ominous sound.
Yeah, they make a distinction, too, between which side of the river you're on for funding and bureaucratic purposes. But as a mother, I notice that, you know, if you're within walking distance of the boardwalk, that's what unifies, on some levels, our neighborhood economically, that and some of the illegal economics going on.
Well, what is your neighborhood, David? And do you think that did your living in your neighborhood, Linda, affect your perspective on this whole thing?
I think, you know, my neighborhood is, well, my neighborhood's right there by the river, right off of Broadway.
Same neighborhood.
And I've only been in that neighborhood about a year and a half.
Are you the Linda LaMaster of 1996?
No, Linda LaMaster plus. You know, I
oh,
come.
Yeah.
I come.
What's
I come.
What's he got that I don't have?
I think I do come with a lot of union credentials and a lot of organizational credentials that it's appealing to those in endorsement positions to know that you've accomplished some things like getting your union in the black and getting it moving. I think really it's not so much living in that neighborhood as it has been my being a welfare worker and hearing the stories endlessly all day long, every 15 minutes hearing a different story of how people got themselves in the homeless situation and the way they're treated when they are in the homeless situation, or even if they have homes and the situation of having to face Santa Cruz rent with a federal standard based on Appalachia 1965 rental, it's like you can't live in Santa Cruz, pay the rent, and qualify for food stamps. If you pay your rent, you're disqualified for food stamps. You have to be a room renter or you have to be homeless. That's how out of tune Santa Cruz is with the rest of the country in terms of recognizing low rent and housing problems. And that's a problem that I think the city and the county have to work together on. And I have a lot of ideas about homelessness that people put on the city that I think personally that our adult protection services in this county are disgraceful. They're disgraceful even compared to Fresno. This is pretty bad. I mean, they have their legitimate passed on cases of mental health clients and so forth like that. But when it comes to an eligibility worker finding that a woman that's just been raped is disoriented and doesn't know where she's going to go or what she's going to do, if you take that woman over to the adult protection services, you do not feel secure that she's going to be helped at all. So I think the county has some accounting to do. And I think as a city council person, I will definitely be getting...
the guardian, because if you have a friend that you can help, you hang close to them when they have to deal with those county systems right now, because it's all about which people can be gotten money out of, whether it be from them or from the state, and the rest of the people are just discarded or trampled on.
If you're not so much a person as you are a good account, if your case has certain qualifications that brings more money into the county, then you're going to get serviced. If your case is something that is like either too much work for that one department, or that department has to be weak, and I think the Adult Protective Services Department is the weak link in the Human Resources Agency and is responsible for a lot of the problems we have in Santa Cruz City, then you're not going to get serviced. And yes, don't go down to Human Resources without a friend. No matter how disoriented you are, there's someone around the street that's going to be more friendly to you than someone in that bureaucracy. And I hate to say that because a lot of my friends work there, and they work very, very hard, and I know they care, but a lot of times that kind of work has to harden you. It hardens you, and you find yourself playing the role that bureaucracy demands of you.
Mm-hmm. Because you got to pay your rent.
Yeah. And I have to get to the post office. I'm mailing notices of my next party August 5th at 201 Maple Street for my campaign kickoff, and I got to get to the post office and do that.
There will be a party tonight on the beach.
Oh, that's right. Party tonight on the beach for Mike mm-hmm. Whitty.
And you're going to be there?
I'll be there with a cough, so I won't be staying too long, but I will be there, yes.
Wrapped up in a blanket.
Wrapped
no
up
doubt.
In my blanket, yes.
Shamelessly illegal as ever. That's
right, yes. Remember, when you go to city council, let them know what you think of the law against wearing a blanket over your shoulders, and bring a blanket and wear it over your shoulders when you speak. And, and who knows, maybe you'll be lucky and get arrested.
Hey, that's David Minton Silva running for city council here in Santa Cruz. Hopefully you'll come back for a...
Yes, I will.
For another show. And you can catch his show tomorrow? No.
Thursday from 4 to 5.
All right. And give a call to David at 459-0199. Right. And David, you can go to the post office now. Or you can stay for another hour.
I think I need to go to the post office and take care of my significant other, too. Okay? Thank you very much for having me. This has been great. I really, really like your questions, and ask me harder questions next time.
I'll work on it.
I do real well with hard questions.
we're gonna
these easy ones. Okay.
Fine tooth.
The videos aren't all out in public domain, but they're very interesting.
You and the kitty porn ring that comes up next.
kidding.
Do we have a loop or something?
No, I'm gonna interview Linda.
Okay, Linda. Hi, Linda.
I'm glad
good to see you.
Yeah.
Where's my hug? Oh,
yes. The big welcome home. Mmm, boy. Oh, it feels so good to see you.
All right.
Bye.
Okay,
so
it's nice to see these hugging activists, guys, both.
Indeed. A rare occasion, me and the men, but it does happen. What can I say?
Too rare.
Well, I'm with Linda LeMaster. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is the extended version, again, of Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. I broke out of jail early. Actually, I got dumped out of jail early, and I'm back on the radio scene. Finally been able to coax Linda into the studios. It's been a while, but here she is. Glad to have you with us, Linda.
Thank you. I've been trying to get here for a week or since I heard that they sprung you early. I guess you scared them up there in jail and they thought you were bad influence on the inside.
Actually, yeah, that's true. As I mentioned in past programs, I was circulating a law library petition that kind of annoyed them, and I was concerned about the rights of HIV positive and AIDS people with AIDS. And that also created some, apparently, consternation. This is what I heard secondhand. Anyway, I am back, and we are doing this, hoping to get a little of Mark Levy's songs. And maybe what we should do is play another Mark Levy song.
Is this his new collection?
This is his new Born to be Wired.
Oh, I haven't heard any of them.
Of course, the problem here is I haven't either, and I hate to play these untried tracks. I do have his older album, however. Oh, you'll be able to hear this eventually, Linda. No problem there. We also have, as I said, we had an interview with Catherine Byers and another with the what is it called? The National Center for National Legal Center for Homelessness and Poverty. Aha! It looks like the other talk show host has finally showed up. Well, actually, you know, we can go on for another hour if you don't mind. No, I think he wants us out of here. Linda, do you have stuff you want to announce about Housing Now before we get kicked out of the studio?
I don't have a whole lot, luckily, but I did want to put on the air the phone number to reach Housing Now in Santa Cruz. It's a voicemail number, and I monitor it closely and check it at least daily. To get in touch with Housing Now in Santa Cruz, please call 457-9754, and that's box 182. 457-9754, box 182. And that number can be kind of like a collection point if people want to use it that way for where things are being done unfairly or where something's happened to you and you haven't even been able to have an audience about it. If you're homeless or poor particularly, or if you're trying to help people who are homeless or poor right now. I work a lot with families, but right now the homeless population is growing in our city as well as nationwide, and I'm trying to get the mediation and advocacy and public outreach that Housing Now in Santa Cruz can do out there more now that I'm not homeless finally.
So repeat that number, Linda.
It's 457-9754 and box 182. You can be confidential if you want, and I'll help keep records of any information you feel like you want to post for future use, maybe to talk to the police or whoever's been hassling you. You can get somebody that's not directly involved to step in if you want, so give us a call.
And of course, if you want to have anything broadcast on this show, any instance on the street or off the street that have happened to you regarding civil rights one way or another, give a call to me. I'm Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norris. I'm at 423-4833. And very briefly now, because we do have to be out of here, upcoming tonight, there's the networking party on the beach. It's going to be fun and dandy with folks from all kinds of cities around the bay. Bring some firewood if you can. Bring yourself if you can. Food to share, chairs and blankets. It's at 7th Avenue. We start at 7 at the Crow's Nest. You can also give a call to Jim Costner if you want to be involved in the Revolutionary Coalition at 421-9250. Also, the Common Threads Coalition supporting the City Hall sleepout every night at City Hall, still going strong, still not driven away by Rotkin's law, or lack of law, we might say. Then tomorrow at 3:30, there's the City Council meets to discuss the Downtown Association's attempt to destroy the farmers market. Let's see if the City Council caves in on this one and tries to hedge its bets with the farmers market. 3:30 at City Council. Then, are you trying to say, wanted to interrupt something, Linda?
Yeah, I have an announcement along these lines. On Thursday evening, a special meeting with city council members to block and limit the use of bicycles downtown. It's setting up a situation where kids and other people who are on bikes have to go onto Ocean Street rather than along the bicycle path on the levee. And
when is that meeting, Linda?
It's at 7 at City Hall on Thursday, and I hope to be there because sometimes my son and I, that's our only mobility. I can't walk very well.
Finally, Tuesday, tomorrow, the Green Party will have its meeting. You heard Green Party candidate David Mitten Silva talking 7 p.m. tomorrow at 903 Pacific, Suite 200. First and third Tuesdays when the Green Party meets. That's the 23rd of July. That's tomorrow, 7 p.m. downtown. And then on Thursday the 25th, there are going to be two meetings. Downtown Commission meets to further, no doubt, constrict the rights of poor people downtown on behalf of the large corporations, the large businesses, and those bigoted businesses that are small but mighty. We wish they were mighty small, but they're not. That happens at 1 o'clock, Downtown Commission, City Council Chambers on Thursday. Then at 4 o'clock that afternoon at the, goodness gracious, I'm losing my mind here, at Woodrow and California out on the west side, the Citizens Committee to Exploit the Homeless, they call themselves the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, has its monthly board of directors meeting. See, these are the clowns that have spent $1.3 million, in essence, on this community house, dump the homeless out of town and their campground. That's at 4 o'clock. That's at, what's the name of that church?
I think it's just Garfield Church. It's on
Garfield
the circle.
Garfield Park Church. That's it. Yeah, it is. It's on Arrett Circle. That's at 4 o'clock on Thursday. Finally, on Friday, there is... on Saturday, Ralph Nader for President shows up. Loudoun Nelson Center, 2 p.m. That's not Ralph Nader, but that's the group. And he is going to be showing up in the area. And also at 11 a.m. on the same day, Saturday, go to San Jose, check out the Community Homeless Alliance. 11 a.m., First Christian Church, 80 North 1st Street in San Jose, 345-2353. We are out of time. I am almost out of breath, and somebody here is probably out of patience. So we're going to roll. We want to thank you for being with us.
Don't forget the City Hall Vigil if you find yourself with extra coffee or goodies.
And we will just throw on a tape you got a tape ready to throw on. Push play. Here we go. Goodbye. Show up on Friday at 10 o'clock, and we will be with you in the morning for another edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides.
Use the skateboard a lot to fuck with people that they want to fuck with anyway.
The cops fucking suck in this town. They're a bunch of fucking pricks. They took him to jail for nothing. They illegally searched his ass. He's a diabetic. They didn't give him the right amount of insulin.
Just about killed me in jail.
Yeah. And we're
just
going
about
to call a fucking lawyer right now about it.
Right on.
I'm gonna sue this fucking town like they never saw somebody sue it before.
Silent platform, fight the war, fuck the norm. Why stand on a silent platform, fight the war, fuck the norm. Why stand on a silent platform, fight the war.
Radio. Question of the day on the mall is, what is the silliest ticket you've received in Santa Cruz?
Sitting on the benches improperly.
With entails.
I was sitting on the top part of the bench and had my feet on the bottom part where people normally sit, and I got a ticket for basically sitting on the bench improperly.
Did you go to court and fight it?
Nope.
How about you?
I haven't really had a silly ticket. I got one for sleeping.
Knock on wood. You got one for what?
Sleeping in the restaurant. Been in restaurants.
What? What?
Nobody was using it. Nobody's using it. Okay, well, that's a pretty silly ticket, though. 96.3 on the street.
You got a ticket in this town?
Should have respected the gas for this, but that's the question of the day is, what's the silliest ticket you've ever gotten in Santa Cruz?
I don't want to get behind handling a quarter for silly. Waiting for a quarter so I can call my mother, actually.
Truthfully, you had to call your mother. And you were Fan Allen.
Yeah, and RoboCop came out. That's me. Oh, Officer Perry. Put me in handcuffs. Put me in handcuffs, threatening my life. They made me sit in the downtown information center for 3 hours.
It gave you for a ticket. That's got him all. It's just really good.
I've got a ticket smoking a bowl in the flats in front of a house that stunk like ether so bad, I really thought I was going to pass out while they're standing there writing me a ticket, giving me a lecture, taking my bowl and taking my pot. They could have just gone inside this house and found much, much more, but no, no. I was just a hard-working, innocent guy smoking a bowl after a long night's work, trying to relax, get busted.
Smoke pot!
That's what they did.
Smoke pot! What? What?
Cool.
You got a silly ticket?
Sleeping in the Poconos.
Sleeping in the Poconos?
So when did they have to, like, hike through the brush and, like, come hike?
They drove through their big old 4x4 and just tore down my tent and was trying to...
It's crazy. Who was that? Ranger?
Shackled our minds with the left on the cross. When ignorance reigns, life is lost. Lost! Lost! Shackled our minds and the left on the cross. When ignorance reigns, life is lost. The shackles on mine with that bitch on the cross. With ignorance reigns, life is lost. Lost! Why stand on a silent platform? Fight the war, fuck the norm. Why stand on a silent platform? Fight the war, fuck the norm. Why stand on a silent platform? Fight the war.
Now? All right. Good evening. This is Matt on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3, and it's been a while since I've been around here. It's nice to be back. And what do I got for you? Let's move over to a different disc here and listen to some face puller I got from Alternative Tentacles. Tell me what you think of this. Mix in the CD. Here we go, kids.